Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, May 9th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Democrats in South Dakota got a chance to see presidential candidate Hillary Clinton yesterday, and Clinton says she is staying in the race. Most years by this time, most election years that is, the race is over before South Dakota even holds its primary. But this year, voters there could still have a voice if the race between Clinton and Barack Obama continues for another month. Minnesota Public Radio's Kara Hetland has more.
Hillary Clinton says if she drops out of the race, then South Dakota voters won't have a say.
I've been looking forward to making this stop here in South Dakota because I think it's really exciting that you're going to have a chance to cast your votes and they're going to count in picking the nominee of the Democratic Party.
South Dakota and Montana hold primary elections June 3rd, the last in the nation. South Dakota has 23 delegates up for grabs. Clinton gave a 40-minute stump speech in an airport hangar. She pressed her major campaign themes, stressing a need to change energy policy and work on creating more renewable energy. She says part of the country, from the Dakotas south to Texas, is known as the Saudi Arabia in wind production.
That if we harness the wind coming off these plains and we had an electric grid system with the distribution system to transmit it from right here in South Dakota across our country, we would be moving toward clean, renewable energy. We should set a goal of 25% of our energy to be renewable by 2025 and invest right here in South Dakota.
Clinton says oil companies should be made to put ethanol pumps at gas stations. Campaign workers pressed those in the crowd to register to vote as Democrats. There were stations to assist in the paperwork. Evelina Stotz is a registered independent. She's not eligible to vote in the primary unless she does switch. It's something she's considering. She says she came to see what candidate Clinton had to say.
She's straight to the point and strong, really strong. She's not just a rhetoric, and she has a lot of experience.
Democrats in South Dakota could get more attention. Barack Obama's campaign says he'll make a stop in South Dakota. The state party is trying to host a debate between the two candidates. Kara Hetland, Minnesota Public Radio News, Sioux Falls.
It now appears the only way there will be a new farm bill this year is if Congress overrides a presidential veto. There were several developments this week on a $300 billion farm bill. First, House Senate negotiators said they had finalized a new bill and plan to vote next week on the legislation. Then yesterday, the U.S. Agriculture Secretary said the president would definitely veto the package. Minnesota Public Radio's Mark Stile reports.
President Bush has threatened for months to veto the farm bill. He said it fails to reform farm subsidy programs. USDA Secretary and North Dakota native Ed Schaefer said the president would make good on his threat. Schaefer said he met with Bush yesterday.
He was direct and clear. The president will veto this bill.
Despite what appears to be a certain veto, Congress still plans to move ahead. A representative of Iowa Senator Tom Harkin said Congress is still expected to vote on the farm bill next week and send it to the president. House and Senate negotiators had been optimistic that they could convince the president to sign the bill. Minnesota Congressman Colin Peterson, who chairs the House Agriculture Committee, said the bill will significantly reform the farm subsidy program. The new legislation says farmers who make over $750,000 a year will not qualify for subsidies. For non-farmers, the cap is $500,000, but those caps are still higher than the president wants. The negotiators also reduced a key ethanol subsidy, cutting the blender's credit by 6 cents a gallon, or 12%. Ethanol has been blamed as one reason for rising food prices. The farm bill negotiators, though, mostly dismissed that argument, saying things like rising oil costs and world demand are the key factors in rising food prices. But congressional Democrats clearly see food as a way to sell the farm bill. Colin Peterson said the legislation responds to the pain Americans are feeling from higher food costs.
We're showing 73.5% of the spending in this bill goes to nutrition. And there's a ton of money in here for food banks, food shelves that need it. There's improvements in the food stamp program. And what better time to make this kind of contribution?
Overall, though, many groups pushing for farm reform are not happy with the legislation. They say it still pays farmers too many subsidies during a time when some are making record incomes, thanks mainly to high grain prices. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin says even with those sorts of criticisms, it's a good package.
I am a happy man.
But Harkin's joy didn't last long. Shortly after he spoke, USDA Secretary Schaefer announced the impending veto. Assuming the president carries out the threat, Congress needs a two-thirds vote to override. If they fail to do that, it appears there are two options. Congress can extend the old farm bill while they continue negotiations with the White House on new provisions. Or they can walk away, which seems unlikely. If they do that, farm legislation passed in the late 1940s would be resurrected and take jurisdiction over agricultural programs. It provides significantly higher price supports of farm commodities like milk than current legislation does. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
There's still no budget deal at the state capitol, but there is some news from St. Paul. The Minnesota House has rejected legislation that would allow police to stop drivers for not wearing seat belts. Lawmakers voted 72-62 Thursday night to send a transportation policy bill back to conference committee for more negotiations. State law already requires seatbelt use, but the bill would have made the violation of that law a primary offense, meaning that police could stop drivers who weren't buckled up. DFL Representative Frank Moe of Bemidji says the proposed requirement is an unwelcome government intrusion. Moe says he doesn't like the seatbelt provision, and neither do his constituents.
There are people that work 60 hours a week, oftentimes for low wages. They're hoping to get on the lake this weekend, and they just really want us to leave them alone. And at what point in time do we say enough is enough?
Supporters say the seatbelt provision will save lives. House and Senate negotiators already removed a new booster seat requirement from the transportation bill after Governor Tim Pawlenty said he opposed it. Some state lawmakers are objecting to legislation that would honor the sport of hockey. The Minnesota House passed a wide-ranging K-12 education policy bill last night that would improve classroom technology and raise learning expectations for students, but much of the debate centered on a provision that would make hockey the official sport of Minnesota. Republican Representative Bud Heidgertgen of Freeport says his district includes 13 schools but only one hockey team. Heidgertgen says the provision is demeaning to other sports.
To sit here and put that in an education bill, telling our state, telling all of our kids that if you want to play one sport, hockey is the official sport. I'm sorry. Every sport is important. And I think that we need to send that message to our entire school systems.
Supporters of the provision say it's not designed to slight other sports. Governor Pawlenty has threatened to veto the education bill, but not over the hockey issue. Well, whether it's hockey or fishing or whatever you do this weekend, have a good one. That's your Polycast for this Friday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. We'll see you again here on Monday.